If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to join me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll be looking this morning at verses 12 through 17. Jesus is a lot of things to a lot of people. He is rabbi. He is teacher. He is savior. He is Lord. He is Son of God. But today, I want to talk about Jesus as friend. Because Jesus is the friend each of us needs in this moment. John chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful for your presence here with us today. We are so thankful for the life and ministry of our Savior Jesus, revealed to us in the pages of the Gospels. Teachings and events that no matter how many times we return to them, reveal to us something new about who we are and reveal something new and beautiful about who you are. In this time, we seek to draw near to you, God. Let nothing separate us as we receive your comfort. And may we receive comfort as well from this morning's passage. I ask that you would give each of us eyes to see today exactly what you'd want us to see. I pray you'd give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray that you give us conviction that's strong, that we might take what you say to heart. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian author Diana Butler Bass tells a beautiful story in her latest book, which is called Freeing Jesus. She tells the story of her childhood Sunday school teacher. Her name was Miss Jean. She was an elderly woman, and she volunteered at Diana's Sunday school the entirety of Diana's younger years. And it was a little bit like our church. It wasn't one where you graduated through the classes. There was one class. And she would sit with the children every single Sunday and teach them about their God. But the unique way that Miss Jean would teach them about Jesus is she'd sit down every single Sunday, and she'd show them a drawing of Jesus, a drawing that showed all of the children gathered around him and him smiling at the children as they gathered there. And she would say to the children in her class every Sunday, "Jesus loves little children. He'll always be your friend." That was her life message that she invested in these children. Jesus loves little children. He'll always be your friend. Can you imagine the impact that had on the children in her class? Every single week, week in and week out, being reminded of that beautiful truth, one that they could hang on to for the rest of their lives. Imagine that beautiful impact. You see, we don't have to imagine that, do we? Because Mr. Kyle had that same impact for us. You didn't have to hang around Kyle for very long before you heard his line that he would tell us every chance he could get. God loves you no matter what. You could study every single children's message Kyle ever gave, every message he ever gave at Vacation Bible School. Even if you had a chance to sit in on one of our staff meetings, this is the line that would come out of Kyle's mouth on a regular basis. And it wasn't always that way, but a number of years ago, there was something that shifted inside of him, and it became his mission in life to ensure that every single child, every single student, every single person he interacted with knew that without a doubt by the time they were done interacting with Kyle. God loves you no matter what. And you see, I think that Kyle, in bringing that message to bear on the lives of our children and our entire congregation, was actually teaching the very same lesson that Miss Jean did, that Jesus will always be our friend. We are always welcome. This is what faith was meant to be, was this kind of intimate and close connection. God loves you no matter what. Jesus will always be your friend. But something tragic happens to us along the way. We grow up out of our children's Sunday school classes, we finish our last Vacation Bible School, and there's something in us that just sort of says, well, now it's time to grow up. Those are Sunday school lessons, those are lessons for children, and we sort of leave that behind and forget the power of that reality. Why is it that we leave that image behind? I think for some of us, we feel a little bit embarrassed. We feel like, well, if I'm too personal with my God, it's like I have this invisible friend I'm walking around with. And grown adults who are mature and they have an advanced faith, well, they don't believe in those sorts of things. Or maybe you, like me, have friends that get uncomfortable about some of that intimate talk that comes along, and you're singing a beautiful song about how close we are to God, and your friend says, oh, this is one of those Jesus is my boyfriend songs. I don't like it. What that really means is you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable with how close we're meant to be. Or maybe you believe the words of Sigmund Freud, who said, believing in a personal savior like Jesus is an illusion. It's a fairy tale. It's infantile. I think for many of us, we've been shamed into abandoning this idea of Jesus as our friend. And yet Jesus emphasizes it beautifully in this morning's passage. Take a look back at verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. There's a little bit of context here. Jesus is gathered together with his disciples in the upper room. It's the last evening of his earthly ministry, the last evening of his human life. And John records the entirety of the scene in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. There's so much there of the heart of our God, of the importance of the Jesus way, of the love that Jesus has for us. And this was Jesus's last chance to convey to his disciples and through Scripture to us the heart of who he was. He says, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. We are friends of Jesus. We are friends of God. And there's precedent for this in the Old Testament. Abraham was called a friend of God in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, and in Isaiah 41, verse 8. Moses is called a friend of God in Exodus 33, verse 11, even in the way that he spoke with God face to face. Jesus says, because a servant does not know his master's business, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And we still struggle with this, I think. Maybe verse 13 is one of the reasons we struggle. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He starts talking about the sacrifice connected to love. He's referencing the cross that is to come, even though the disciples have yet to see it. And I think sometimes we miss the fact that it was Jesus' love that led him to that cross. But what about verse 14? Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Now, I have to confess, the first time that I read this passage when I was a teenager, and I read these lines from Jesus, "You are my friend if you do what I command," it sounded to me a little bit oppressive. It sounded to me a little bit conditional. I tried to imagine myself saying to a friend of mine, "You are my friend if you do what I command," and it just didn't seem right. In fact, we often counsel people to get out of these kinds of relationships if you're in one that is so controlling that way. So what are we supposed to do with verse 14? I think theologian D.A. Carson helps immensely. He says, "Obedience is not what makes us Jesus' friends. It's what characterizes Jesus' friends." Obedience is not what makes us Jesus' friends. It's what characterizes Jesus' friends. It's that way of life that Jesus has gifted to us. And once we feel his love, once we surrender to his embrace, once we become one of his children, once we become one of his friends, that's the natural way that we live and move and have our being in this world as Jesus' friends. The goal in all of this, according to Jesus, is bearing fruit that will last. He talks about that in verse 16. And this might sound like performance all over again, and many have said that Jesus here is talking only about evangelism. He's saying, you need to bear fruit, you need to find people and bring them in to be a part of the church. But I believe that what Jesus is talking about here is love, specifically love for one another, having a heart for the people around us. He frames this passage with that idea of loving the people around us. It's something that theologians call inclusio, where there's a statement on the front end and a statement on the back end, and they say the same thing, and they hold together, like bookends, all of the material in between. So Jesus begins this morning's passage and ends this morning's passage with a command that we love one another, and then everything in between talks about what that love is like, what that friendship with Jesus is like. Jesus wants us to love one another, and friendships are one of the best places where we do this. A friend is one who loves, perhaps even to the point of risking their life for another. The problem is, we teach our children to be friends with one another, but then we often forget how to do the same ourselves. We grow up and we move on to those important grown-up things, and maybe we use social media as our substitute for friendship. Oh, I've got a lot of friends out there. I mingle with them all the time. Or maybe we have surface-level acquaintances at work or at school or throughout our day, and we say, well, I have plenty of friends. Maybe it's that neighbor wave that we give out our windshield on the way in or out of our neighborhood. But the truth is, none of these dig all the way down to the level of true friendship, the kind that Jesus shares with us and the kind that Jesus calls us to share with one another as we love one another. Could it be that one of the most effective ways to follow Jesus in this world is to simply be a friend to others? I think it is. And I think each of us sitting in this room can attest to the example that Kyle was of this in our world, the kind of beautiful friendship he shared with all of us, the kind of friendship he shared with his Starbucks baristas, the kind of friendship he shared with every single child he ever met, with all of the families who would come and weren't quite sure what this church thing was all about, the kind of friendship he would share around all of his hobbies and interests and the people who were interested in the same things, the way that he would come up to you and just simply be in your presence, ready for whatever it was that you needed to share or whatever it was that you needed to hear. Kyle showed us how to love one another through the beautiful friendships that he fostered among us. And so this week, inspired by the words of Jesus, inspired by Kyle's life lived so beautifully among us, I ask that we revisit our own friendship with Jesus. Let's make sure that as we've grown up into adults, we remember that intimate friendship he's called us to, because we need to carry that with us for life. If there's only one thing that we learn about our God, may it be that he loves us no matter what. That's the core of the gospel. That's the message that Jesus came and taught and lived. And so this week, revisit your friendship with Jesus and make sure that even as your theology and your understanding of God has advanced, that it still includes Jesus and the little children and the friendship he's gifted to us. May we also this week rethink our friendships with others, because we need those friendships now more than ever as we walk this journey of grief together, relying on the love that Jesus has modeled for us to offer comfort and hope to one another. Thank God that we have a friendship with Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord God, sometimes the simple Sunday school lessons, the ones that we heard when we were just small children, are the most profound and life-changing. They're lessons that we don't need to leave behind as we grow up, but instead lessons that call us back to the heart of what it means to know you, to be loved by you, to share a friendship with you. Jesus, you have called us friends. May we lean into that close connection with you, even as inspired by you, we extend that same friendship to others. May we be a people in seasons of grief and celebration who love one another and are known by that love, because it is a picture of you. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.